The festival which probably best represents the growth and development of Athenian religious practices in order to accommodate the changes in Athens itself, the festival which best illustrates that is the Panathenaia. This was an important festival because it was for all of Athens. That's what the very name means, the All Athens Festival. And at the Panathenaia, a procession involving all of the families and citizens of Athens, a procession would take place which formed up on the outskirts of the downtown of Athens at the Dipylon Gate, and then it crossed through the Agora, the central marketplace of town, going across it diagonally across the Sacred Way before winding its way up to the Acropolis, where dozens, sometimes hundreds of head of cattle would be slaughtered on the altar of Athena. The meat slaughtered at this moment was then redistributed back to all the people of Athens. And this became an important festival, both to celebrate the unity of all Athens and then increasingly in the 5th and 4th centuries to celebrate the power of imperial Athens as well. So that, for example, every 4 years when the festival was held with even greater splendour, the great Panathenaia, on this occasion then the allied states would send along a set of hoplite armour and, in addition to that, their cattle as well, all being brought up to the Acropolis. Now, this is very interesting. When you get to the Acropolis and you go from the western side of the Acropolis and walk east to the altar of Athena, you walk past the Parthenon, and the frieze on the Parthenon depicts the same procession. So here we have the Parthenon as an architectural expression of this religious procession, which is itself an expression of the imperial might of Athens. We have regulations from 335 BC which stipulate that the money raised from the leasing of sacred land is to be used by a clan of priests in order to buy cattle, which will then be slaughtered and sacrificed on behalf of all the people of Athens. So we have to imagine various times in the year when all of Athens, the whole city, would be echoing with the cries of cattle being slaughtered, the streets running with the blood of these animals, and then later in the day, the smell of their burning flesh, as quite literally everyone in the city partook of this sacred feast growing out of the sacrifice. If you are in Greece at Easter time, or even if you're in this country on Memorial Day or July 4th, one of these days when it is customary to have barbecues, you are reenacting this practice of the Greeks of the 5th and the 4th century. Now, I've been concentrating so far in talking about the act of sacrifice and the various rituals and festivals that go with this. What I've left aside so far has been the question of the faith, the inner spiritual life, if you will, of the Greeks. This is an area where I think earlier generations of scholars made some serious mistakes, particularly scholars growing out of a Christian tradition that postulated that Christianity succeeded precisely because the pagan religion of the world in which Christianity was born could not match Christianity's appeal in satisfying the deep spiritual needs of individuals. This, I think, is a load of bunkum. In fact, there is very good evidence to suggest that ancient religion, we'll call it here pagan religion, the religion of the classical Greeks, fundamentally was based and sprang from the truest source of all religion and faith, and that is that profound sense of awe that an individual feels in the face of eternity. There are small figurines that turn up at every excavation in Greece. Figurines that people had in their houses, small figurines of Heracles or of Artemis or of Apollo or of Zeus. And there are small shrines that turn up in every small house that has been excavated in Greece. There is plenty of evidence then that on a daily basis, at the level of ordinary everyday life, people had a strong sense that there were gods active in the world. But even more than that, and much more important than that, there is also evidence of what are sometimes called the mystery cults. Now, these mystery cults, which are supposed to have appealed to people by giving them a sense of connection with the divine, are often thought to be a late phenomenon of, say, the Roman Empire. And these cults are sometimes thought to have been the religious experiences which Christianity found itself in competition with during its early centuries. But in fact,